Thank you for choosing to listen to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. For more resources and information on our church or our team, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.
Yeah, you could sit. Was I supposed to say take a seat? I really asked them to, if we could skip the videos, because just because that is really exactly what I wanted to preach about. That it's just about Jesus. And I'll share the genesis of this message with you, because I really get this sense, again, I'm not a prophet, I'm not speaking on behalf of the Lord to the nations, but I get the sense that God is calling people, not just us, but across the globe, just back to Him, not being relevant or not status or not performance or production, just... He's doing it right now. And his voice is really annoying. Okay, we're good. Okay. So, no, I do that. And we've talked about it in life group. My wife was reading a book called about Mary and Martha. We're doing a book in our worship team life group about that just keeps everything is about coming back to just Jesus. Like, forget all the rest. And I hear other people in other states and across the world preaching the same thing. And from this pulpit, I hear Marco, I hear Tyron come in, I hear other people come in, even last week with Cameron, and people saying the same thing over and over. So I'm going to say the same thing over and over. That we're not just here, we're not believers because of a set of principles that we follow. We're believers because of a person that we are in love with and that we're chasing after. So I was going to talk about the story of Mary and Martha today, and I think I had maybe told Jeremy that, and he called me yesterday morning, and he asked me how it was going, or how's your preparation going, and I was like, honestly, I have like 77,000 pages of notes all over here. I have this, that. I have a million things in my brain, and I'm just trying to organize it into something simple, because I really just want to kind of have one thing to communicate to you. And he said, well, it's funny that you're preaching on Mary and Martha, and that's where you're at. And it hit me as soon as I hung up the phone. I'm doing exactly what I'm about to preach about. Like, I'm trying so hard. I'm trying to find content. I'm trying to generate, you know, I'm doing all this stuff. And really, if it's just about him, I just need to sit at the feet of Jesus like Mary did. And then trust that he will do what he wants to do. Okay, here we go. Before we get into scripture, I want to talk about something else near and dear to many people in this room. Alabama football. Alabama football? Okay, that's what I thought. Y'all say that all the time. Yeah. Sorry if you're a Texas fan or whatever. I know you're annoyed with this stuff. Pictures and rings and Nick Saban. Even more sorry if you're an A&M fan or Baylor fan or whatever. Y'all have engineering or something. Y'all have something you're good at. I don't know. Let me read this. What, veterinarian medicine or something is A&M's thing, right? Which is, anyway. Okay, let me read some stats to you really quick that I wrote down. Under Nick Saban, since he's been the University of Alabama head football coach, I think 14 years, I think, 6 national championships, 7 conference titles, 8 division titles, 3 Heisman winners, 41 All-Americans. And the wildest thing to me, well, one, in the last 13 years, they've only lost 17 games total. Since 2008, though, I don't understand this. They've been ranked number one at some point in every single season. So they're just always considered the cream of the crop. They're as far as college football, that's who you would want to be, who you're modeled after. And while half of my family is nuts about them and drive me crazy. But why? Why are they successful? Like, what is this? Is it just this guy? Is it just Nick Saban? Nick Saban's a genius, right? He's a genius, and he has, there's no doubt he gets the best talent. There's no doubt he's always got the best recruiting classes. There's no doubt he's got great staff. All that is is part of this, for sure. But I think it's really just one thing that's 2 words that you've probably heard before called the process. Have we heard of the process? Okay, let me tell you what the process is. First, I'm going to read to you process, yes. First, I'm going to read to you, just from Wikipedia, but it says, Nick Saban formulated process thinking as it pertains to American football with the help of psychiatry professor Lionel Rosen while Saban was the head coach at Michigan State University. Saban and Rosen broke down complicated tasks like football games and entire seasons down into smaller, more manageable pieces. Rosen emphasized that the average football play only lasts 7 seconds. So coaches and players should concentrate on those 7 seconds, take a rest between plays, and do it again. So the premise is everything you do is geared toward those 7 seconds, like that next play. And the cool thing about it is none of the outcome doesn't matter, the score doesn't matter, the moment doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's a national championship game or practice game. It does not matter. If you really buy into the process, then the only thing that matters is to do your job in those 7 seconds. And put this quote up for them, Micah. I've got a Nick Saban quote for you. Don't look at the scoreboard. Don't look at external factors. Just all your focus, all your concentration, all your effort, all your toughness, all your discipline to execute went into that particular play. Regardless of what happened on that play, success or failure, you would move on to the next play, have the same focus to do that on the next play, and then you'd do that for 60 minutes in a game. Then you'd be able to live with the results regardless of what those results were. So the whole idea, if it's not clear, is nothing matters except for what's your job right now. What is my job on this play? When the ball snapped, what is my job? And the wildest thing about Nick Saban and the discipline that he has, you can watch an Alabama game and they're playing like a Division II school, and they are just stomping them. Like it's 50-3 and there's 30 seconds left in the whole game. So mathematically impossible. And one guy on the third string on kickoff coverage will make a mistake and he will lose his mind. Nick Saban will absolutely lose his mind on this guy who's probably in for the first time in a year, and he made a mistake in a game that's way out of hand. Like, it's 50-3. Most normal people are like, the goal is to win. The object is to win the game, right? Like, that's done. So why are we worried about me running the wrong route or whatever with 10 seconds left? Because if you're bought into the process, none of the other stuff matters. It's just do your job on that play. So... And it's clear that focusing only on that yielded his team the results that you've seen. Again, great players, great staff. I think it's this process that keeps them winning national championships, keeps them top of the food chain in college football. So I guess the question is, what does that have to do with Jesus and Mary and Martha? And that would be a great question. Thank you for asking, Jeremy. I really think the process thinking can be similar for us as believers. And if you really just want to break it down to one thing, we just sing about it. It's just Jesus. It's just about Jesus. And I think so many times with success or with failure or with anything that pulls us one way or the other, distractions, it's so easy for us to just get off course a little bit and then find out later we're so far off course. And my encouragement is that we always come back to just Him. Amen. So in football, you know, you have to block, you have to tackle, you have to throw and catch and all that. There's fundamentals of the games, things you have to do, just like in life. You have to be a parent, you have to be a spouse or employee or whatever. You got to raise your kids well. There's all these things that we have to do. What I would like to submit to you is those are all results. Those are all the outcome. If we start with pursuing Jesus and we end with pursuing Jesus, then those outcomes take care of themselves. All right, so... when we are falling more and more in love with Jesus, if that is our goal 1A and 1B every day, then we start building this relationship with Him that flows into every part of our life. It's like a marriage, is what I was thinking about yesterday. If you're committed to your spouse and you're committed to being, if I'm committed to Lindsay to be the best husband I can be, then my marriage with her, the covenant I have with her, affects every part of my life. It affects when I go to work, where I work. Okay, it just affects everything. And if I'm not committed, though, if I made a decision 15 years ago to marry Lindsay and then I just did my own thing, then it's not necessarily impacting my life in the same way. So we don't just make a decision one day and then everything happens. No, we fall in love every single day. Every single day we pursue him more and more and more and more and more. And I'm not saying if you made a decision 10 years ago and you don't feel like you're pursuing that relationship with him, I'm not saying you're not saved. God's grace is beyond what we can imagine. I'm just saying you're leaving a lot on the table. So let's go to the scripture in Luke of Mary and Martha. All right, I'll read this to you. You're familiar with this. It says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.'" So Martha already is, she's worried about doing. She's worried about what she can accomplish and the task, the chores that have to be done. And the Lord answers to her in verse 41, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." And I think it's one, Mary's just at the feet of Jesus. I mean, she's just sitting at the feet of Jesus. All these other things that are going on, she has zero concern for in this moment. Jesus is in the room. I'm just sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha has traded that for all these other things. And I don't think those things are bad. This isn't about, in the book we've done in Life Group, it's not about good or bad. It's not about Martha, you know, being in sin or whatever. It's just about she traded what is best for just what is okay, or just what is good, or what she can accomplish or do. And I just kept thinking that's what God's calling his people to, just back to his feet. Just back to his feet, that's it. Not what we can accomplish, not what we can do or learn. All that flows from just sitting at his feet. So I thought about this when I was preparing. We have this statement up here that says to know Christ and to make him known. And we've talked about it a bunch. You've heard us talk about it. Make him known is important. It's critically important. Like we preach on that a lot, and it is absolutely critical as believers. It's a command. I mean, Jesus gave us that as a command. But we don't get to make him known unless we first know him. And when I keep saying fall in love, that's what I mean. When we fall in love, when we place him first, when we are pursuing more of him every single day, you will pray. You will be in the word, because that's how you get to know him. You will worship like you've never worshiped before. And you will tell everybody you know, because it's the best thing that's ever happened to you. So we're going to make him known, but we have to start by knowing him. So every part of our life is in response to what he's already done for us on the cross and a result of our love for him. And what I love about the process that I've already mentioned is the moment doesn't matter, the score doesn't matter, how many people showed up to church doesn't matter, how good the worship team did, you know, what was it, the right key and tempo, Micah, and all that, it doesn't even matter. Just do your job. Just sit at the feet of Jesus. So I think we're so easy to get comfortable. Life is good. We don't need anything. Or sometimes there's fear of failure, fear of man, or Sometimes we just settle for normal, for status quo. We're just content with what we have. And I think wherever you are, you have to get back to the process. I mentioned when Jeremy called me that I had a bazillion notes. Like, I would have been up here hours. So, and I'm like, this is crazy. And I prayed and I worshiped and I got paper out. I have an iPad and a phone and a computer all with all kinds of notes. It's stupid. It's crazy. And I got a pen and paper out, and I was like, I'm just going to write this thing down.
Amen.
All right. So, and what I really want to do doesn't require me. I mean, it's simple. There's nothing more simple than this, just to sit at the feet of Jesus. So my point is, I told Micah and Lindsay, I said, I want to worship at the end in response to us pursuing more of him in our life. And I'm not going to talk for an hour. I'm not going to talk for much longer than I already have, actually. But I just wanted to encourage you. It was my only goal, to encourage you to come back to the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
Can you pull up that, you can go ahead and come up and play, Micah. Can you pull up that Matthew 6 scripture? Other Micah? So Matthew 6:21. I like this King James version. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. It is therefore thine eye be single. Sorry, if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And I just love that, the word single. If thine eye is single. And just this idea of, Marco mentioned it this morning in prayer, that the singular focus, just this one focus, just living life with this one focus, then the rest of the body will be full of light. And it's in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom. All of that, it's all over scripture. If we just start with him, and if we just start and end with him, if he is the only thing, then the rest will fall in line. I'm just telling you it will. We don't have to overcomplicate this thing. So, you know, I was thinking about God calling Abraham a friend, you know, or Abraham being known as a friend of God. And just this difference of servants and friends, and I think it's easy to view our relationship with Christ as a servant, and we have a checklist of things we have to do, we have to get done, we have to read this, we have to pray this, we have to show up at church on Sunday and know these songs or whatever. We have this checklist. And friends are not like servants. Friends are actually after the heart of the person. They're after the heart of God. And the cool thing about that is, if you have good friends, they're actually going to get the list done anyway. But they're probably even going to do more than what's on the list. But they are after more than just accomplishing the list and then clocking out. They're after the heart of the one that they love. We're conditioned from birth, especially in this country, live these performance-based lives. Like, what can we accomplish? How much money can we accumulate? Or, you know, I mean, you know what it is. It's all kind of thing. How many football games can we win? But Jesus flipped it all around. He flipped it from what can we accomplish simply to just a relationship with him. I want to read about one more woman in the Bible. If you'll put up that Luke 7. Micah. So this is a little long. Just I'm going to read the whole thing straight through. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. So the Pharisee is asking Jesus to come into his house. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Go to the next one. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus, answering, said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. A certain money lender had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii, the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which one of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered her house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this? Who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And I love that's another picture of a woman at Jesus' feet. And she's not like Mary, though. This woman comes in and everybody's like, is this woman really in the same company with Jesus? She had nothing. She had zero accomplishments. She had zero resume. All she had was baggage, actually. And in an instant, her life was changed. One encounter with Jesus. And she didn't have anything to bring. She just loved. That's all she did. She loved. She fell in love with one encounter with him. So I just have a question. Two questions. Are you Martha? Are you trying too hard to do too many things? Are you living off what you can do, what you can accomplish? Are you settling for what's good and leaving what's great on the table? Or are you this woman who's never sat at the feet of Jesus? And either way, the answer is the same: to fall in love with him again. We sang that song, Nothing Else Matters, and it's the truth. Nothing else matters. And I asked Micah if we could sing this next song. It's a new song, but it's written just like a love letter, straight from your lips, straight to the throne. And I wanted to leave us plenty of time for each of us to respond to him, that I believe he's calling us back to our first love, fall in love with him again, or for the first time. So this is some of the lines from this song. It says, I just want to move your heart. It's all I want to do. I just want to stand in awe and pour my love on you. No matter how much the cost, I freely give it all to you. And the bridge says, so is it a fragrance? Then I'll pour my oil out. Is it a life laid down? Then here I give my vows. Is it a song I sing? Then here's every melody. Just tell me what moves you. And that's all I'm asking you to do, just to sit at his feet and just, I mean, that I love that. Is it a fragrance? Is it a melody? Is it my life? Whatever it is, it's yours. So I just want you to stay in that posture as we sing this song, as we worship. You can go ahead and stand. God, we love you. There's nothing that we want more than you, God. We just want to sit at your feet. And God, whatever it is that you ask of us, God, we give it to you now. Our hands are open. So take every part of me, take every part of us, and have it all.
Thank you for listening to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. We are a church that is passionate about knowing Christ and making him known in our city, the nation, and the ends of the earth. For more information on who we are, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.